to the first time, but it's about God being not a reactive God. He's an active God.
Yeah.
He takes steps in our lives. He is not just a seer. He doesn't just observe. He does. So it's called Fierce.
About there's going to become a red tsunami, but it's going to be some color.
because remember, all of the United States coming in, and it's not going to be a disaster. It's going to be the Holy Spirit taking over this nation. And the blood of Jesus will cover in the name of Jesus, and people will call out to the Lord. There will be altars made everywhere, and people will come and seek the Lord. And that, what he's saying about the tidal wave, it reminded me of tsunami. The result of a tsunami is a tidal wave.
That's good, Tony.
It is good when we get to the point where God's presence in the midst of a hurricane is more powerful than the hurricane. The presence of the hurricane, right? When we know that God is here more than we know the hurricane is here, or the tidal wave or the tornado or whatever, we know God's here even more so. That is powerful.
And you can reverse it, because I've been times in the Spirit saying, hurricanes, like tornadoes mainly, not hurricanes, tornadoes. But also you can take it for the reverse. God's more powerful than it, not protecting you, but the power he can exert to get things out and to construct and for good is stronger than a hurricane. It's stronger than a tornado. God's power is stronger.
Oh, yeah.
So we can, just like you can turn leaven both ways. The natural things we see, we can realize what they are and put it in our mind and realize God's that powerful for good.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yeah. And what you're saying, he's going to take that and use it like what the enemy has used destructively.
Yes.
He's going to use it spiritually to advance the people of God, advance the church.
Yes.
The church got
to. They can do it quickly
because
they come quickly. There's a preparation that is quick, especially tornado. I mean, they can really, in a hurry.
You know, when we look back, we think of Elijah. That's...
Yes, whoop! That was
went,
good.
You know, that's what...
That's what I said. I guess whirlwind would be better than...
Yeah, it was whirlwind.
Which is a tornado.
Amen. Amen. It's good. It's good.
So we have a positive also speaking to it, realize God's more powerful than the bad. And he also can reverse it and use that power for the good.
Power for the good.
Yes.
He says, I have plans for you.
Yes.
What kind of plans?
Good plans.
Plans to prosper us.
Good plans to make us prosperous. Not an evil plan, but to make us prosperous, right?
Amen.
A good plan for us, right? That's what Jesus coming was. It's a fulfillment of that.
Yes.
Prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus came and said, I got you a good plan. I got you a good plan. God is our portion.
Yes, he is.
You know, we get on him on our side. What else do we need? Right?
And don't limit my thoughts just then. Portion to me is like a size, a small, you know, a portion of food, a portion can be that. But don't limit, that's not what you're talking about.
No.
You're talking about everything good. Everything good. The glory of God. Everything good. So it's not that little portion.
That's your inheritance. That's
right.
Inheritance, right? If you're the only son of Abraham, Isaac, you got everything. You got all that Abraham had. Everything. That was your portion. In fact, that's the same word used for portion is used for inheritance. Okay? In the Old Testament. So, we know that... Aaron, the priesthood, the brother of Moses, he said, your descendants, you're not going to get land, right? Your descendants, the priests, you're only going to get God. God's going to be your portion.
Your portion. Yeah.
That's your inheritance in the land, right?
Uh-huh.
He said, that's all you need. You really got the best part, right? Jacob didn't get any of his father's land. Esau got it all, right? All of his animals, everything that he had, Esau got it. But Jacob got the spiritual part. And that's all he cared about. And that's all he needed. Because he's the one that became the great nation. You see. So we've got to remember, God as a portion is more than enough.
Yes.
More than enough.
Because God's portion contains spiritual in there.
Exactly. You know, he'll cover all the bases.
Cover all the bases.
Cover all the bases, yeah. David wasn't a Levite now. He wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He wasn't a descendant of Aaron, King David. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my food. You protect my portion. That's the way David said it. Again, portion and inheritance is really the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we want to continue on looking at the prodigal son parable, because we learn a lot about inheritance. We learn a lot about God. If God is our portion, we need to know about God, don't we? So we know what kind of portion we got. The more we learn about God, the more we know about our inheritance. Right? Amen? Okay, so I need someone to read Luke 15, 16 through 24. You remember the prodigal son asked his father for his inheritance. Right? And so we left off there at verse 15. So get someone to read 16 through 24. Who would like to read that for me? Somebody got that?
Luke
15, 16 through 24.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat.
Okay, let me stop you right there just a minute, just to review. The younger son has asked for his portion of the inheritance from his father. His father gave it to him. He took the money, went into a far country, right, and scattered it all. The word is actually scattered it all. He wasted it on high living and all that kind of stuff. And so then a famine came in the country. All of his friends said, oh, we don't know you. You know, he had spent all his money, and now he had no money. And so he got a job taking care of pigs. Okay. And so he was feeding the pigs. Go ahead. And he would have gladly have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating. Okay. He was feeding them pods, and he was going, I'd like to have some of that, you know. But no one gave him anything. Go ahead.
And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the higher servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Okay, thank you. So we find out that the younger son knew the father's heart. He knew that his father's servants fared better than he did.
Yeah.
They got along better. They had more food to eat. They had a better place to live than even he did, feeding the pigs.
Well, you need to put that in perspective about how filthy pigs are and stuff, because if you've ever been around a pig farm, the stench alone is just absolutely nauseating. Just the stench.
Oh.
Just the stench. Not only that, but what they eat, the slop that they eat is just unbelievable, because they poop in it, they do everything, and still eat it. This is perspective here.
Yeah.
This is actually probably one of the lowest things he probably could have done, and he's Jewish.
Yeah, but you know pigs.
Thank you, Nick. I grew up around pigs. I'm trying to forget all that.
Okay.
I slopped the hogs. I fed them. I did everything.
When you do hearts, you do bowels.
Yeah.
Anatomically,
yeah.
We have to be careful. Anatomically, they're more like us than any animal.
Right. So
they can use their bowels.
As Nick said, this is how far.
So we should be careful.
The younger son is fallen. This is how far he's fallen, okay? And we don't know how long he did it, but somehow he came to himself. That's how the Bible put it. You know, hey, He finally got a clue, didn't he? He finally woke up and said, whoa, wait a minute, you know? What am I doing here, you know? So, you know, he knew his father's heart and generosity to give him the inheritance. And he went back and said, I'm just going to make myself a servant. All right? I just want to be a servant, Father. But what the son didn't realize, he didn't know his father's heart concerning reconciliation.
Good.
Reconciliation. Mm. Forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Now, the younger son didn't know his father's heart about that. Mm-hmm. He didn't know his father would forgive him. He didn't know he had even chance for forgiveness. Uh-huh. He just said, I just want a job. You know, I just want to get out of this pig pen. All right? And so, all right, think about King David. When we sin, what do we want to do? We want to run away from God, right? Mm-hmm. We want to hide, avoid his presence, right? We're afraid, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Remember when they sinned? It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid. They didn't want God to see them. They didn't want to be close to God.
Mm-hmm. Is that what sin do for you? It makes you want to be as bored as you can?
Often it does. Mm-hmm. Remember Cain. Mm-hmm. Cain fled from the presence of the Lord. He went to the Nod, east of Eden, to get away from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to be there. Most people, I'll put it this way, it's a generalization, but I think most people, when they sin, they fear God. They want to get away from God. They know the judgment of God. They know the justice of God. Okay? They know that part of it, but they don't know the heart of God is reconciliation. They didn't know that. Now, there was a man that knew that, and it was a great example for us, who knew the heart of God. And who was that?
King David.
King David. Listen to what King David said. King David, instead of running away from God, what did he do?
He ran toward God.
So, let's see. I'll just read a couple of a few selections from the Psalms. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. He knew that God was a God of anger. He knew he was a God of wrath, but he still ran to God. Yes. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Who's going to wash me clean of my sin? Can I do it? I run to God. I run to God. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. He's pleading to God. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. He didn't hide. Mm-hmm. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He humbled himself, see?
Yeah.
See, he didn't let pride and everything keep coming to God.
That's good.
Exactly. Pride is what causes it all.
Exactly. So, that's what King David did. We need to run toward God. We need to know God's heart.
Amen.
Brother Thurston was talking about we need to know God. You know, if we want our faith to increase, we got to get a little bit more knowledge, don't we? Okay. And we need to know God more. That's the knowledge that increases everything.
Yeah.
To know God more.
That's good.
We need to know God is a God of reconciliation. We are ministers of reconciliation, right? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
Right? So when we bring the knowledge of God, the witness of God to people, we want to tell them, you know, you've been hiding from God all this time, but God is a God of reconciliation. You need to run toward God instead of fleeing from Him. Right? Yes, He's a God of justice, but He also is a God of forgiveness. Amen? Yeah. So, Brother Thurston, read 25 through 28. Okay?
Now, his eldest son.
Oh, wait. We're going to who? Now we're leaving the younger son. Now we're looking at the older son, right? The older, what's his reaction to all this? Okay, go ahead, read it now.
Now the elder son was in the field, And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was merry, and he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him.
What? Hold it. Wait a minute now. What? Are we talking about a father here, right? Now, didn't he come out? I mean, I think you read it wrong. Didn't he come out and say, look, you get in there, I'm going to kick your butt all the way to the county line. You better get yourself in there, buddy. Right? I mean, isn't that what we expect from our fathers? I mean, you know, that's the way a father acts, right? Oh, really? Well, maybe it's not the way of God acts. God is our Father. So, That's interesting, isn't it? What does God say? Well, if you read Isaiah 1:18, he goes to the Israelites. Now, Israelites, wicked in sin, bad in sin. And he comes to them, and what does he say? Our Heavenly Father says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He entreats. Whoa! In Psalm 86:5 it says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Whoa. So who are the ones receiving forgiveness? The ones who call upon the name of the Lord, not run and hide from him. The ones who call upon him. Right? For all who call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you. Yes. Wow. Those who come to Jesus and desire his salvation will be saved. Not to those who run away and hide, right? Now, when Jesus came, did he come as a judgmental representation of God? Right? What about the woman that brought to him in adultery? Caught in adultery? Judgmental? No. What about the Canaanite woman who came? He was bugging him. Nagging him, right? He said, I'm not here for you, right? But what happened? He said, it's okay. You can get saved. The Samaritan woman at the well, same thing, right? She had five husbands, and she was living with somebody who wasn't her husband, right? But what did he say? I'm here for you. I've come here. I'm here for you. It's not judgment. He entreats. He entreats.
Yeah.
Right? He entreats. Let's see. The older son, he didn't know God's heart. He didn't know the Father's heart. Okay? So he did not ask him for anything. Let's see. We need to read that. He reasoned that his father would not give it to him. Right? He didn't ask him for anything because he thought, Father won't give it to me. All right? So hear the hurt in the father's voice as he talks to his older son. And this is in Luke 15:29 through 31. It says, but he, the older son, answered the father, said, lo, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came...
Son of yours, he said.
Son of yours. What did I say?
No.
Son of yours.
Yeah, that needs to be a point. He's not claiming it.
Yeah, he's not claiming my brother. That's good. That's right. My son of yours. He claimed a kinship with them. Came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You kill the fatted calf for him. And the father replied to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Can you hear the hurt in his voice? Don't you understand? You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Right? All that is mine is yours. Look, don't you understand? You're with me. You're with me. You're always with me. That's the big thing, right? God is our portion. The big inheritance is we got him. Uh-huh. Forget the fatted calf. Forget the baby goat. We got him.
Amen.
You got the Father, son. Don't you understand? I am always with you. That's the big thing here. Right? Mm-hmm. Now he goes on and says what? And all that I have is yours. All that is mine is yours. Who cares about that? I got the first part. I got you. Mm-hmm. Right? I got you. But when I got you, all that you have is mine. I got God. Mm-hmm. We have God. That means all that he's got is ours. We got Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? All that Jesus has, he's the inheritor. Yeah. It's ours.
And you know, he so never what do walked we in his inheritance.
Huh?
That son had it all that time and never walked in it.
That's right. He did not know the Father's heart. He did not know what he had.
Right.
He did not know what he had. How many of you Christians are walking around today, we don't know what we got.
I wrote this down.
And we're not using it. Right?
Jesus.
We got all kinds of inheritance and we're not using it.
Come on now.
You see, we got salvation, sozo, right? We need to do a study on sozo to find out what salvation includes.
Yes.
Most people walking around thinking salvation only includes going to heaven when I die.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just got to struggle along here on earth until I die.
It's one of the greatest healing scriptures there is.
Yeah, there you go. So we need to realize what we have in Christ Jesus. We need to realize who the Father is. He is willing. We talked about last week. He is willing. Right? He is willing.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is not, I got Aunt Susie's brooch. I got Uncle John's tractor. You know, when you inherit something, you're fighting over the inheritance. You're fighting over these little items like this, right? People fight over, I wanted Aunt Susie's brooch, but my sister-in-law got it. Right? I wanted that land. I wanted that piece of property. But you know, it's just nothing. Right? It's just nothing. God is our portion. God is our inheritance. We got God. We got everything. Right?
Amen.
So, we're going to stop there. And just remember, we got him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
We'll ask. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, bless this food, bless the hands that prepared it, bless this day, bless the service as we go along, Father. All the teaching that's being done, let us learn about you and learn just how wonderful you are toward us. Amen. Okay. I think they got something on the table for us.